but now I see. Think about that, blindness. Blindness takes all kinds of shapes, doesn't it? We have some of us that can't see well up close. We can't, the words are blurred, right? We have some of us that can't see afar. The leaves are blurred. I can remember when I first got my glasses as an 11-year-old, and I put them on, and I could actually, from a distance, see the leaves on the tree. It was amazing, yep. Right? Some of us are blind because we can't see well without lots of light. Those of you that have wrestled with cataracts have had to deal with that quite a bit, right? There's all kinds of blindness. But you know what helps every single one of those situations? A bright light. A bright light. And today we hear Jesus having stooped down and drawn in the dirt and rising up and saying to this woman, go and sin no more. Turning to us and saying, you know what? There is a light that shines that can free every one of us just like that woman was free. So there in John chapter 8 this morning, we continue on our journey through the book of John and we talk about the light of the world. Jesus has risen from the dead and moved on into the temple. He explains the revelation of the men's inability to throw a stone at the woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. The woman had been forgiven and encouraged to sin no more. Now he addresses the crowd that still stands in wonder at this man's ability to silence, embarrass the leaders, and to let a guilty woman go. And so there in verses 12 and 13, we see Jesus declaring himself as the light of the world. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And so here we have a response from those religious leaders to Jesus. Jesus had very clearly said to them, I am the light of the world. Now you have to remember that these were people that were steeped in the traditions of the Torah, of the first five books of the Bible. And as such, they would recall very quickly and instantly that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And they would go and they'd say, there on day three, God created the light. But you know what wasn't there when he created the light? The sun, the moon, the stars. You see, God created light because he is light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You don't need the sun. You don't need the moon. I am the light of this world. And I have the ability to cast out darkness. Isaiah 47:1, it says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So when Jesus says, I am the light, they're getting the idea that he is beginning to claim that he is God. Number one, he starts with it out with the phrase, I am. Remember Moses wandering through the wilderness and coming upon this burning bush where the bush was burning and burning and burning, but the bush still stood. Normally when you burn something, yesterday I got my burn barrel up because I wanted to shrink things and get them out, right? So I started the fire in there and all these pieces of wood and sticks and things that were been traveled and they all burned into ash. They kind of disappeared. Right? And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I can make things come to pass. And so they recalled that passage from Isaiah. And yet we can come and we can take a look at this claim, I am the light of the world, and we can think about what it says in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, verse 23, where it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the land is the light thereof. You see, in those end times, when all this world that we know is gone, and when we enter into eternity and we sit in that blessed city, we sit in that eternity, there'll be no need for sun. There'll be no need for light bulbs and the chandeliers. You'll be able to go into the deepest, darkest corner of this church curtain. You could go crawl under this church and there would be light there. Because Jesus will have manifested himself into every corner of the eternal kingdom because he is the light of the world. Yeah. If we go back and we take a look in John and we go to John chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, we see that the gospel writer, he gives us a little more explanation on the coming of Jesus. And it says in John 1, 4 to 5, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Mm-hmm. We can go to John 3, verse 19, where it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So now let's go and let's tie these two things together. We have this woman that was taken in adultery, that's brought before Jesus, and he is able to cause these men to flee. These religious leaders, these sophisticated, these arrogant, these proud men, they flee because they know that they can't cast the first stone. They know that they are guilty. We have this woman who's been caught in the very act, and she knows she's guilty. You see, Jesus is the light of the world, and the first thing that he does is he shines light on the darkness that is in our lives. And what do? If we don't believe, we flee.
Yep.
We run away. I don't want anything to do with church. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with Jesus because it makes me feel bad.
No, it's bad.
Yeah.
And it should. Mm-hmm. But you know what the blessed thing about it is? You know what the light also does? It can show us how to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest problems I have with my eyesight right now is I need a bright light when I'm underneath my tractor trying to fix my tractor so I can see what I'm doing under there, right? When I'm sitting there and I'm working on some project, I need a light, bright light so I can fix what's going on there. You see, if we don't see the light, we can't fix it. And if we don't fix it, things just get worse, right? And so when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's given to each and every one of us an opportunity to say, I am a sinner, Lord, help me, please. And what does he say? Go and sin no more. You see, God is willing to take us where we're at and help us to move on beyond that because he is the light of the world. He has seen it all. He knows it all. He's able to expose it all because he is the light of the world. And what are you doing with that light? Are you trying to put it under a bushel so that it doesn't convict you? Are you keeping it hid under a bushel so you don't convict? You don't want to make your neighbors uncomfortable. Right? But keep that testimony of the Word of God out there. Let it bring that convicting light. Let them see the light of the world that is Jesus. You need to show them Jesus, it says. The religious leaders had a problem with this declaration. And they state that in that verse, in verse 13. It says, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Now, this is a really long, and I wrestled with this a long time because this I could actually take us in this, if I wanted to follow this argument, I'd have to take us all the way to the end of the chapter. But I know I couldn't keep your attention that long. So I had to cut it into little pieces so that we could stay attentive to what God wants us to learn from this passage. But here, Jesus has said, I am the light of the world. And so the Sadducees and Pharisees says, what gives you the right to claim that? Where's the evidence that you're the light of the world? You're the one that says you're the light of the world. And we know, according to the scriptures, according to Deuteronomy, that you can't have a solid witness unless you have two or three witnesses. So what you're saying, we can toss it out because you don't have any backing evidence. Don't we sometimes feel that way? Lord, you have no right to convict me of sin. You don't know all that I've been through. You don't know all that I'm struggling with. You don't know what I've been through, and therefore you don't know what's going on in my life. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And I can see into the deepest, darkest crevices of your thought patterns. I know where you came from because I have seen it all. I am the light of the world. I am the God that recordeth everything. And I can walk you through every single situation. Is there room for doubt? Obviously. Is there reason for doubt? No. Because he is the light of the world. He only wants to help us when he comes and he exposes us to our needs, to our wants, and to our illegitimate ways that we meet those needs. God has a record of every event in our lives. He sees every sin. He sees every success. He has them all recorded. Our sins, though they're red as scarlet, are washed white as snow. blotted out from God's view because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is his record that counts, no one else's. It is his opinion that counts, no one else's. It is his light that we need to shine. Look at how Jesus answered these scoffers when he says, I am the light of the world. As we go on and we see that he has not just himself, but he also has the light of the Father. Let's take a look at that. Verses 14 through 18. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone. I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me also. So what is Jesus saying? I claim to be the light of the world, right? And you say, no, one person, that's not enough evidence, so let's go, what is your evidence? And Jesus says, God my Father bears witness of me. Mm-hmm. That's now two witnesses, right? We actually have a third witness in the fact that if we take a look at the miracles that Jesus did, they bear testimony that this man was something special. This wasn't an ordinary man. This was a man that had to be sent of God, because who else could forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins, and if Jesus is forgiving sins, what does that say about him? That he must be God. And so he goes and he tells him, and he says, look, here is the evidence. God the Father bears witness of me. When did God the Father bear witness of him? When he was baptized, right? Behold my Son, in whom I am well pleased, right? We have another situation when at the Mount of Ascension where God says, this is my Son, right? He bear witness to three. We have lots of witnesses. We have the miracles. There is lots of testimony that Jesus is the light of the world, that he is the one who has the ability to shine in ours. But the problem is we don't want him to shine. Mm-hmm. I like my sin. Oh, you only think it's causing those problems in my life. It's not really. It's global climate change. That's what the problem is. Blame everything on global climate change. Well, I ask you this, who's in charge of the climate? It's not man. That's right. If man thinks his puny little burning of fossil fuels is enough to influence this entire world, they're sadly mistaken. God has more ways of balancing this earth than we can ever imagine. Sure. And I want you to remember that all the evidence that they have has been gathered in the last 100 years that they have written records for, and that is small in comparison to the 6 or 7,000 years that this world has been around. Not enough evidence to tell me that this is global climate change. And besides that, let's take a look at this also. What about the Ice Age? And then all of a sudden, no Ice Age. Global climate change, it must have been caused by man. Nah. He's the light of the world. There's enough evidence that we can see that the Father bears witness of Jesus that he is the light. You see, every one of these phrases that we're going to go through this morning, is we will have Jesus said. So we have the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the scribes, and all those very important and very well-educated people arguing with Jesus. Oh. Hasn't changed much, has it?
I'd say they weren't too bright.
People arguing with Jesus. Oh, well, the scriptures really don't mean that. They mean this. Oh, that's not good scripture. Take you on a journey with me. How many of you ever heard of the Book of Enoch? The Book of Enoch. That's one of those lost books of the Bible. You know, lost, meaning what? It got hid for so long and nobody ever knew it. We've known about that book ever since it was written back in 200 BC. But it's never been regarded as scripture. And if you go and read it, you'll soon discover why it wouldn't be regarded. It's full of fairy tales. You know? And yes, God can do miracles, but if you look at this, a lot of it is built on the whole assumption that God's do strange things. It's very much like the Roman, the Greeks, all the pantheon of gods that come from other cultures. And so I think what happened is we got a little Jew who had been working with all the heathens, and he kind of says, well, let's make a new story about the God of Israel to match the ones of the heathens. You see, people try to obscure the light. They try to dim the light. They try to corrupt the light. But the truth of the matter is that there is definite testimony that Jesus is the light of the world. Mm-hmm. He is the one, he is the only one that can allow us to see the truth in depth and at length. Others may mock and scorn our faith, but we have the testimony of the scriptures, their infallibility, their origins, their abiding presence, the fact that they're still around. The stamp of genuineness that is upon the scriptures. In Acts 17:11, Paul says this of the believers. It says, those were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things be so. And what made them strong and powerful believers was that they searched these scriptures daily to see if they were so. And folks, I know that we're talking about the light of the world, but the truth of the matter is you and I need to be searching the scriptures daily to be reminded that he is the light of the world. We need to look at those scriptures and allow them to shine down on our lives and on our world and see the truth. Because the world is trying to keep us hid in darkness. They're trying to veil the truth. They're trying to muddy the truth. They're trying to dirty the truth. And it's up to you and I to get into the scriptures and to begin to be discerning. If we truly believe he's the light of the world, then we need to let that light shine in us.
Yeah.
Through the scriptures onto those around us. And so they're trying to discredit the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, I have a testimony. I have a testimony that comes from the Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, he who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What is the testimony that we have? It is the Spirit of God dwelling in us that allows us to understand the truths of the Scripture, that exposes the gems one gem at a time. He doesn't give it to us all because it would drown us. But he gives us one drop at a time. So we can absorb it. So we can make it part of ourselves. You see, there is an evidence that God is working in us, that the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, is touching our hearts. Let's look at verses 19 and 20. And they said unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, they should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Interesting question. Had the leaders heard rumors of the miraculous conception of Jesus? That he had no physical father? He had Joseph, his adopted father, but God was his father. Were they just thinking about his biological father, who was probably dead by now? We don't hear any mention of Joseph after the age of 12. Very common in those days and age for a man to pass away at a very early age. It was a hard life. There were a lot of risks. You know, they didn't have saw stops. So being a carpenter, he may have cut off a finger and bled to death. We don't know. It doesn't say. The scriptures are silent. But the question is, where is your father? And so he says, my father bears witness. And he says, where is your father? See, they missed the point altogether, don't they? Mm-hmm. Jesus continues in reference to the inseparable bond between Jesus and his father. To know Jesus is to know the Father, he says. To know the Father is to know Jesus, he said. But without the light of the truth, it cannot be seen. They did not see Jesus as God. They doubted his claim, despite the evidence that was in front of them. If I came up to you and you had an ailment, whatever that ailment may be, maybe you spoke with a lisp, maybe you couldn't walk straight, maybe your back was, you couldn't even stand up, and I touched you and healed you. Well, how would the rest of you respond?
It was a miracle.
You'd believe. Yet they had seen this time and time and time again. I come and I bring in a single box of graham crackers. Single packet of graham crackers. And I say, you guys look hungry. You want something to eat? And all of a sudden I have a packet of graham crackers for every single one of you. Don't know why I picked graham crackers.
I don't like them.
There's miracle after miracle shown to multitudes of people. It's not just some little private miracle with me and Jossie here. This was miracles done out in the open. They had all this evidence that God the Father was working through Jesus, his son, and yet they would not see it, they could not see it, because the light of the world was not shining in their hearts. It is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that any man can discover the truth and see the light. It is a work of God. In John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "And this was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, Jesus." In John 16, verses 13 through 15, we read the following, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." He's going to shed the light on things to come. "He will shall glorify me," Jesus, "and he shall receive of mine, and they shall show it, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." You see, when we're talking about the light of the world, when we're talking about those that doubt, we need to realize and we need to recognize the fact that only way anybody is ever going to get saved is because we have asked the Holy Spirit to go and do the work of conversion. If we jump into their life and say, "You sinner!" they're not going to listen to us.
You might get smacked.
But if we look back, we're saying, he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't understand how it's effective. Oh, Lord, help him to see the truth. Lord, reveal to him. See, light reveals. Reveal to him what he needs to know. And that goes for each and every one of your neighbors. That goes for each and every one of your children. That goes for each and every one of your grandchildren. That goes for the entire world that is around us. That if God does not shed the light, there is no hope for tomorrow in the lives of those people. He is the light of the world, and we must be calling on him to shed his light on people, allow them to see the truth, allow them to see the despicableness of their behavior. Instead of jumping on them and say, "You LBGTQSYZT, we need to say, "Oh Lord, help them to see how they've lost the truth."
Straight away.
It has to be that sense of compassion. It has to be that sense of commitment. It has to be that sense of faith that, "God, you're the only one that can change my grandson Josiah. And it's not going to be me getting in his face and, 'Why are you doing that, you silly kid?'" They knew when they come to that, I pick on them. I'm just making sure they feel the love. Okay? But it's so true, isn't it? You see, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in the hearts of people around us. We need to trust that he's going to do that. We need to be praying that he does that. How many of you are involved in prayer for your neighbors? We have a powerful tool available to Lord, bless thy neighbor.
Yep.
And it gives you an opportunity, it gives you a tool to use to pray for your neighbors that the light of Jesus will shine on them. They'll feel the warm glow of the love of Christ. They'll see the convicting power of the light as he shows them how much they've created havoc in their own lives by their own decisions. You know, and don't go thinking about just those that are stuck on drugs or alcohol. There's a lot of people that are stuck on sports. They're stuck on football. They're stuck on all kinds of different things. They're stuck on their games. You know, that's the God that's going to deliver them. And they don't realize that all the time their lives are shriveling up because of the lack of attention to the things that really matter. You see, we have a witness before us. We have lives that have changed. You have your life that's a change. And it's a testimony to the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be asking that, to be praying and asking. Every time that you see a neighbor this week, every time you see any neighbor, whether it's a neighbor at the store or a neighbor next door, I want you to be praying, "Lord, shine the light on them." Is that hard?
No.
Is that too difficult to remember?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a good task for us to take up?
Yeah.
You're committed now. Y'all were nodding your head, so y'all got to do it now.
That's right.
Okay? No invitation. I just got it.
That's right.
I just got it in there, didn't I?
That's right.
Let's keep the light from being hidden. Let's pray that God will shine the light on them.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the next one. Jesus said again. Wow, Jesus is doing a lot of speaking here, isn't he? I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, I said this because you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. You shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And do you understand where he's going with this argument? He says, I am the light of the world. There's proof that I'm the light of the world. The Father bears witness of me. There's a work that is being done, and the word, the light that shines on your lives. And you guys, if you do not believe in me, you are doomed. Mm-hmm. Without hope.
Yep.
Stuck in your sin.
Yep.
And you know what? I don't care what you believe about Buddha. I don't care what you believe about Muhammad. I don't care what you believe about the gods of the Indies, Indians in India, or the gods in the Indians here. None of those gods are ever going to make a difference. You Jewish people, your God of the Old Testament, your God that you keep in the Old Testament, your God that you use, you believe is only true in the Scriptures, not the God of heaven, right? Because they had immoralized this God in the Torah. They had made their own rules for their God. They had made God in their own image. He says, that God is not going to save you. But if you will believe that I, Jesus, am the light of the world, then your sins will be exposed, your sins will be forgiven, like this woman was forgiven, and you'll be able to go on into light. This is what Jesus is saying. Do you see how far the Sadducees and Pharisees had drifted from the truth? And Jesus is simply saying, look, we're talking about a spiritual battle here. I'm not of this world. You're of this world. You're only thinking in the way this world thinks. And I'm saying there is more out there than meets the eye. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's more out there in this world than meets the eye? And I'm not talking about bacteria that's under a microscope that we can see now that we have microscopes. I'm talking about the fact that there is a spiritual realm. Every single one of you, the minute you were conceived, were given a spirit. That's a life. That's a life force that now has entered into eternity. Careful now. Don't jump ahead of me. Because that life can now have eternity in the presence of God because of faith in Jesus, or can have eternity in the total absence of God in hell. And Jesus says, you guys are stuck in this world. You don't understand the rest that has to be taken care of, the rest that you need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
No man will be able to enter into the gates of heaven, into the eternal presence of God, without faith in Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thor isn't going to be able to save anybody, despite what Marvel says. Spider-Man isn't going to be able to save the world. Neither is Doctor Strange. Probably strange character. Pun intended. But God, the Lord Jesus, is the only name that will deliver us from this world. And that's what he says. And Jesus goes on to close up this chapter. Actually, we've got two more sections. Better get busy. And Jesus saith unto him, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. So just as I told you all along, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world these things which I have heard. So I have been faithful in giving the message that God sent me to give, but you guys are not willing to hear it. Because you will not get out of your way of thinking,
yep,
your worldly visions. You will not listen to me. And they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They still cannot get the truth. My friends, you do understand, do you not, that no man can come to Jesus, no man can come unto the Father except through Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And there's no other way. Despite what the world might say, it's not going to be by how good you are. It's not going to be by how many times you've been baptized. It's not going to be by how many times you came forward in the altar call. It is only because you have accepted the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And you said, light, shine on me. Show me my weaknesses. Help me to fix them by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Jesus continues on. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, the minute he said that word, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, do you know what immediately came into their minds? That story that had been told from way down at the size all the way up about Jesus, about God being in the wilderness with Moses. And the people decide, by the way, I don't like this life. I don't like what's going on. I want some chicken. I want some quail. I want some type of meat. What's the matter with you? You put us out here in the wilderness. Hey, that sounds just like me, doesn't it?
No.
And God said, enough! And he sends snakes, those slithery, oh, they're not really slimy, but they feel slimy, that slithered into their camps. And they snuck up to them and they bit them. And those that they bit started to die. And God says, Moses, well, wait a minute, Lord. I don't want, you know, these are your people and they're out here in the middle of the desert. And what's the world going to think about this? I want you to do this. So God says, okay, I'll have mercy on Malachi. I want you to make a bronze serpent. I don't know what it's like. Who cares? Yeah. It was a bronze serpent. And I want you to put it up, lift it up. And anyone that would look at the bronze serpent would immediately be healed. They would not die. And those that didn't, they died. And so when Jesus says, when I be lifted up, all this came flooding into their mind and they said, oh. He's talking about the fact that he is a salvation for anyone who would look and live. Look and believe. And so the whole story is there in Numbers 21 if you wanted to go back and pick it up. But Jesus would always do those things that the Father taught him to do and not his own. Jesus today continues to reveal the Father. It is only by our faith in him that we can see the light. We can understand the Father and his out of this world ways. You see, we're used to thinking with our mind. We're used to thinking with all the stuff that, who is put in there? The world. The world has been stuffing our minds for decades. Do you want to know why America is the way it is? It's because the world, other leaders, people that don't believe in Jesus, have been stuffing these ideas in their mind. That they have the right to determine what they want to be, who they want to be, when they want to be, and where they want to be. And they forget to give any credit to a God that has created us. They don't call people to ask that question, but you can determine what you want to be. Doesn't matter how your body's made, you can determine what you want to be. You can live the way you want to live because the world has been programming us, you and I, for decades, centuries. And if we do not ask for the light of the Jesus to shine on us and expose the truth, we are set to follow that path.
Yep.
Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone? Or are you here in church because you think it's part of the way that you can become a better person? I'm sorry, but the scriptures are exclusive. It says Jesus is the way, Jesus is the life, Jesus is the truth. And that no man, no woman, no whatever it may be, can come unto the Father except through Jesus. He is the light. We need to let him light up our lives. And we use that expression quite often to talk about lighting a fire. And we need the Lord to light a fire under us, don't we? So that we can shine bright for him. We need the Lord to polish our mirror so that we can reflect his light to the world around us. It's up to us. So what are you going to do about it? You got to come up and say, good sermon, Pastor. Great job. Mm-hmm. And you go back and you listen to Facebook and YouTube and Google and whatever else comes printed into your house. Yep. And not look into the depths of God's Word where the light is truly there. My friends, today, will you lift up the Lord Jesus as the only thing that can help you and heal you from the sickness and the disease this world is pumping into you? It's pumping it into me. And I just keep saying, Lord, keep me alert. Lord, let me see the truth. Lord, let me stay in the truth of the Scriptures. And I think it was Wednesday we were talking about the fact that it seems it's so wonderful when you get into the depths and you study the Scriptures on a regular basis where you begin to see, oh, what Jesus said over here, it relates to what was said over here by Isaiah, Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, Micah. And we begin to see how perfectly knit together the Scriptures are when we allow Jesus to be the light of our world. Today, can you renew that commitment to let Jesus be the light of your world? Because then you'll be able to look and live.